Welcome to Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton, where we equip pastors to take their churches from declining to thriving by pointing them to a new future and a new hope. Join us weekly for encouragement and practical advice in your pastoring journey. Here we are with another episode of Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton. And before we get started, we just want to say a big thank you to so many of you who have subscribed to the podcast. You don't know how important that is to us. It helps us understand, first of all, are we meeting some needs? Are we accomplishing anything? And it also says that we actually are growing and that we're reaching people. So it doesn't cost you anything, and it's pretty painless, I've been told, to go ahead and subscribe. So go ahead and subscribe and listen to us all the time. There are lots of episodes already that you can listen to, and more to come. Now, we are in a very special location this week. And so, Mark Clifton, why don't you tell us a little bit about this and our guest?
Yeah, we are. We're with Mark Halleck. He's sort of a regular guest. From time to time, we'll have some different guests drop in. But when we can't find any good guests, Mark will always be here.
Thanks, I appreciate it.
We're grateful that Mark is the replant pastor of the Calvary Church in Englewood. And those of us who know about replanting, it is a very special place. Mark has replanted this church under the glory of God, has allowed him to do that. And not only that, but has helped replant dozens of churches across the mountain states, raised up replanters, written a lot of books on replanting. And this really is, in my mind, kind of the mother church of replanting. So we decided that we would move the podcast from the home office in Wahoo, Nebraska to Englewood, Colorado today. And we've been here sitting in Mark's basement.
That's right.
Doing the podcast.
That's
and
right.
We're going to continue to do that today. Mark.
Yeah, so glad you're here, guys.
Thank you for being here.
Thanks for hanging out with us here on the old white couch that used to be white, isn't as white anymore.
It is not white at all.
That's
we
right.
We ought to take a picture of it.
That's
and
right.
Show it. It looked like it's a couch from the 1970s. I can tell it is.
Yes.
It's the ones that the cushions are about 3 inches thick, and that 3 inches long ago passed.
That's right.
And
that's
so,
right.
It shows
brother,
humility.
Hey, listen, that's what we're going for.
It shows humility.
Well, I'm just glad you're here, bud. And, I love you guys. I'm so glad you're here, and we can do this together.
And when I look at the equipment and the surroundings here, David Platt would be proud of this church.
Oh, for sure.
Because you're not wasting.
It's about as unimpressive
you're
as you
You're not wasting any money. No, it's a great place. God's done amazing work here. He won't tell you this, but Mark won't, but he came and there were 30 people. He came as a bivocational pastor back 15 years ago when people weren't really talking a lot about replanting. They were doing it. You all have been doing it. But we weren't talking a lot about it. And there weren't a lot of resources for it. But God, for his glory, worked through Mark and the other men and women here. And today they have about 800 in attendance. And as I said, 30 congregations they've helped support across the mountain states. So we're grateful for Mark and his graciousness to serve with us and be here. Thankful for Dan for doing the hosting. And man, we got a good topic today, Dan.
Yeah, we sure. Yes, it is, but it's a painful topic for Revitalize and Replant pastors, because it is something that we all have to confront and deal with, and that is a willingness to confront.
Right.
And there are a number of things that we have to confront, and so let's do this. Let's talk about some of the things that we have to confront, and then we'll talk about how do you do that? How do you go through? What are the steps that you initiate to go through a confrontation and what that's all about? So let's talk about what are the things that you need to confront people over specifically?
Well, I think many times we have, as pastors, we want people to love us. Mm. We want people to like us. We want people to think well of us.
Yeah.
And so many times, I see in pastors almost two extremes often. I see guys who never want to confront anything, right? And because they don't want to be unliked, they just don't want to. And then I see some knuckleheads who want to confront everything.
And that's so true.
And they're trying to work out. Maybe they feel really insecure. Mm-hmm. They're trying to work out that insecurity by being the big guy and making all the decisions. And hey, I'm the pastor. And man, they just confront stuff they don't even need to confront.
Yeah.
And both of those are going to damage a congregation.
That's right.
You can be a guy who just keeps kicking the can down the road and never confronting anything, and you cannot be the guy who wants to confront every issue that's not worth confronting. So there's got to be a medium there where you know what to confront, how to confront it, and you confront things differently. Some things are far more important to confront than others.
That's right.
Some need to be done right now. Others need to take some time. Others you need to bring some people with you. So. Yeah. This is we've been talking about the characteristics of a revitalizing pastor, and this is really an important one. So important, we're going to do the whole podcast, a whole 2.5 hours today. No, 20 minutes. We're going to do the whole 20 minutes today, really talking about what it means to confront. Because if you're not able to confront in a healthy, timely way, you're going to have a very difficult time being used of God to revitalize a church.
That's right.
Let me repeat that. Yeah. If you're not able to confront in a healthy, timely, biblical way, you're going to have a very difficult time. You probably will not be able to revitalize a church. God can use you to do
that's
that
right.
if you don't know how to confront.
So let's talk about some of the things you need to confront. Well, first of all, we would say you have to confront bad theology.
Oh, you can't ignore that. You can't sweep that under the rug.
That's right.
You and I know guys of tremendous influence. Some people who are, well, you can read Andy Davis's book Revitalize. Mm. He went to a church in North Carolina and immediately had to confront some theology.
Yeah.
That was not correct.
Right.
And he talked in the Old Testament. You remember the guys that touched the ark and died? Mm. Help me with their name.
I just, yeah,
come on.
Dan,
what's the name?
Bill.
Google it. I can't believe we've forgotten this. Anyway, the ark was beginning to slip.
Yes.
And they weren't to touch the ark. But so that the ark wouldn't touch the ground, he touched the ark.
Yeah.
And God said, if you touch it, you'll die. And so he died, right? And, the theology is, his problem was he felt like his hands were cleaner than the earth.
Uzziah? No.
No.
Who
say it.
Uzzah.
Uzzah.
Oh, it's Uzzah. That's right.
Uzzah. Okay, so Uzzah touched the ark. And this is a good theological point. His sin was that he felt his hands were cleaner than the earth. Yeah. Well, the earth had never sinned, but Uzzah and all of us had sinned. So sin touched the ark, so he died. I remember, I believe I heard Andy say that he was talking about that, and someone in the church said, well, if that's the kind of God that's in the Old Testament, I don't want anything to do with that God.
Wow.
And he said, this was a church leader, right? Mm. And so that kind of theology that says, I'm going to determine who God is for me, mm-hmm. has to be dealt
that's
with.
That's right. And that's part of being a biblical pastor is protecting the flock.
Yes.
Protecting the flock from bad doctrine inside and what's being taught outside as well.
Right. And so you have to make a stand there, not on your leadership and who you are, but on the Word of God.
That's right.
On the Word of God. And you do it in a loving way,
yep.
a compassionate way. You know, I heard Alistair Begg, I was listening to him preach the other day. And Alistair, if you're listening, hey, man, thanks for subscribing. Anyway, I don't know Alistair Begg. I wish I did. But anyway, I was listening to preach the other day, and I loved his prayer at the beginning of his sermon. He said, Lord, because he was preaching a very difficult topic, mm-hmm. extremely difficult topic that could be very offensive to many mm-hmm. people, but it was biblical. And he said, Lord, I really ask that you control even the tenor of my voice and the tone of my voice to be both affirming but loving.
Wow.
And I think that's exactly how we have
that's
to approach
so
these
good.
Things. Even the way we speak them, but we do that with firmness, but with love.
Yeah.
And so I think when it comes to theology, doctrine, those kinds of things, infallibility of the Scripture, fidelity of the Scripture, biblical marriage, you just cannot let those go.
No, that's right.
But you confront them with
how
love
do.
And compassion, but with directness.
Well, and another, and then on the heels of that is you've got to confront sin. You've got to confront sin, which can be very difficult, takes a lot of courage and a lot of wisdom. But it's what you just said. It's speaking the truth in love.
I know.
What happens in a church, in a declining church, if you have a pastor who's unwilling to confront sin that's there?
Well, you may think that you'll confront it later.
Mm.
You'll confront it eventually. You'll confront it maybe when you have a little more clout behind you, or when other things, or maybe it'll just go away, right? Maybe the sinful behavior, the person will just leave.
Yeah.
And so you find all the reasons not to confront it. I have a friend of mine, a young man that I was mentoring, and I'm so proud of him. He had a small group in his home, and this small group was made up of young couples. But there was young couple who were engaged, but they weren't married. So the group went on a float trip. And so it was an overnight float trip. And this young couple was not a member of the church, right? So they're not church members. But when they get there to the float trip, they get to stop that first of the night, and they were going to set up the tents. This young couple had brought one tent. And so my young intern had a decision to make.
Yeah.
You know, do we just let this go because they're not church members?
Right,
and
right.
How embarrassing would this be for them at this point? You know. And I was so amazingly proud of him. He went to the man and he said, look, you can't be sharing that tent tonight with someone who's not your wife. And of course, the guy just went ballistic. He's like, who are you to tell me that?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you're crazy. We're engaged. We're not going to do anything. We'll be in separate sleeping bags. What difference does it make? Yada, yada, yada. And this intern said, no, we're a church event. Yeah. This is a church, and you can't do it. He said, but here's what we'll do. He said, you and I will be in your tent, and your fiance can go in my wife's tent, and we'll do it that way. And he said they were very upset about it. They didn't pack up and leave. They were upset about it. But he said later on the next day, they began to realize what a loving thing that was for him to do. And of course, they eventually became married, became members of the church, and understand what biblical marriage is all about.
Wow.
What a teaching moment that was. It would have been so easy for that young intern not to confront it.
That's
he just
right.
looked the other way. And it was very difficult to lean into it, but he did it in a very loving, caring way. I've never forgotten that story.
Yep.
So I want you to use that as an example in your mind as you think about confronting sin.
It takes courage. It takes courage and love. Just one quick story. I remember early on, because one of the temptations is when you haven't had many young families, and all of a sudden it's very tempting to want to keep everybody who's coming. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And I can remember a couple we had, and they were living together,
right.
and they wanted me to do their wedding. And I'm thinking, right. man, this is like our first young couple.
Right.
And I got to just kind of shoot straight with them and said, listen, you guys know I love you.
Because
I built trust at that
point.
And I said, listen, I can't do your marriage. What I would ask you to do is we've got to separate you, and then we can do premarital counseling. We want to do this the right way and honor God's.
Right.
And I'm like, man, we lost them for sure.
Right.
And you know what? They said, okay, we'll do
great.
It. And they, same thing, became members of the church or whatever.
Go.
So you can't allow the fear of man,
right?
Which is so easy to, I don't want to confront, what will they say, what will they do? Or might I lose people over this? Listen, what matters most is the glory of God. What matters most is being faithful to his word. That's what we're accountable for.
But if you do it not in your flesh, but in the love of
that's
Christ.
That's right.
In the power of the Holy Spirit, really seeking to be truth and grace.
Amen.
Truth and grace. Rather than just being the power-hungry guy who's going to tell you what you're doing is wrong. Yeah.
If that's you, man, you should not be a replanter
anyway. No, you shouldn't
anyway.
Be. But you have to confront bad theology, and you have to confront sin.
That's right.
You cannot ignore that.
Yep.
Which leads us to the next thing, and that is you also have to confront methodology.
Mm. Yeah, it's not at the same level, obviously. And methodology can wait.
Yep.
Bad theology can't. Sin can't.
That's right.
Methodology often needs to wait.
Yep, wise. Yep,
you need
wise.
To be there for a while. You need to understand all the ins and the outs, the ups and the downs. But, you know, in Rainer's book, Dr. Rainer's book, Anatomy of a Revived Church, which I do recommend, it's a great book. One of the traits of a revived church is a willingness to deal with the traps of tradition.
Mm.
So really, another way of approaching confronting methodology is, what are the traps of tradition here? Where do we get entrapped by our traditions that hold us down, that hold us back, that rather than putting wind in our sails, actually are anchors that keep us in place? And so you have to confront those traps of tradition, but you have to be smart enough and emotionally intelligent enough and in tune with the Holy Spirit enough to know when is the right time to do that.
That is exactly right.
And what is the right way to do that?
Yeah.
There's a right way to deal with a bloated church registry, and there's a wrong way to deal with a bloated church membership, right?
Mm.
And the wrong way is to just say, we're going to clean this up right now. The right way is to talk to people about it. Who are these people? Where did they come? You can start out with like the bloated church registry. You can start out by saying, hey, could we just sit down with some of the older members? Let's go through this and see who may have passed away that we didn't take off.
That's
that's all you do.
Yep.
First time. Who maybe passed away that we need to take off? And then you maybe later on sit down, could we talk about some people who maybe don't even live here anymore that we could maybe put on a separate registry of people who no longer live here? And just take it like that. And that's how you begin to deal with some of the methodology rather than just taking a hatchet to it and just start chopping things
Here's another real practical. When we talk methodology, let's talk about Sunday mornings.
Okay, go ahead.
Sunday mornings, because you know we often say, look, there are hills to die on, but there are very, very few of them.
Right.
Okay, and remember that, especially in the first few years that you're at a church. But I see guys coming in, and the first thing they want to do is, you know, you got Sweet Betty who's been playing the piano, and they've been doing the best they can to pull off music in this church. And if you come in with an arrogant heart that says, man, this is lame.
Yeah.
This is, nobody's going to like this.
Yeah.
I got to get Betty out of there. I've got to give props to our worship leader, Ben Haley, who's the best at this. And I have him talk with churches all over the place. And he did such a great job of integrating those who were there with some newer folks together to help produce a sound, right? We wanted a sound that was going to be a little more, you know, engaging and representative of where we were going. But how he did that in honoring, again, the past, it's also why I'm personally such a believer in singing hymns.
Yes.
And I'll tell you what, the folks here, they love their hymns. And quite frankly, I love hymns.
Right.
And so, you know, if you're trying to bring in whatever's on K-Love or something, man, I would say, hold on a second, pal.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to beat the theology of hymns for one thing. But also when you're trying to win the hearts of folks that so many things are changing, you know, don't mess with their hymns.
Yeah, I agree.
In fact, celebrate the hymns.
There's no reason to mess with a theologically sound hymn other than you just want to be more relevant in some ways to your peers and to yourself.
That's right.
And of course, now when you look at the Sing Conference and the Gettys and Matt Papa and
Matt
Boswell,
that's changing.
Everybody's coming back to hymns anyway.
Right, totally.
So it's all coming back around. So yeah, I would lean into hymns. But you've got to confront sin. You've got to confront poor theology, bad theology, and eventually you got to confront the methodology.
Yeah.
You can't continue to have methodology that holds you back, that prevents you from being what God wants you to be, that becomes more valuable than the mission itself.
Yes.
Right? Traditions that mean more than the gospel. Jesus has a plan for every church, and if that plan does not include those traditions, you have to help them lay those aside. But you help them lay them aside, not by guilting them into it or shaming them into it, but by pointing them to a greater joy than the one that the current tradition gives them.
That's right.
And that takes time, it takes discipleship, but it also takes intentionality. So you just realize we're going to have to deal, I cannot let these poor methodologies, these ineffective methodologies, these traps of tradition continue. We're going to have a process for which we correct those in a way that's loving and compassionate and actually points them to a greater joy than this one. And if at the end of the day, people get upset and leave because of that, and you've done all you can do to keep that from happening, you have to let that happen.
That's right. That's right.
Your goal is not to maintain as many unhappy members as you can, is to follow Jesus' plan for your church.
Amen. That's good.
So we've talked about the things that you have to confront, doctrine, theology, methodology, sin. One thing we haven't talked about, and that's personality, but that kind of goes unsaid. You do have to confront certain personalities, conflicts, that sort of thing. But in the last few minutes here, how do you confront those? What are the steps that you take to initiate that confrontation and step up
to it? Well, let's talk about interpersonal things. You know, sometimes there are people who just goad the pastor, right? Who just, when I was with Dr. Rayner, he said in one of his first churches, this lady came up to him and she said, well, God has just told me you shouldn't be our pastor. She was mad at him. And he said, you know, my initial response was what most of us would do. I said, well, God hadn't told me that.
Yeah.
And he said, in other words, I immediately went to her level. Immediately even went to her, you know, to her cheap argument.
Yeah.
He said, as a mature pastor now, if someone were to come up to me and say, well, God's told me you shouldn't be our pastor, he said, I would take a moment back and I would say, really? Tell me more about that. How did he tell you that? And why do you think he told you that? You know, and then even say, you know, if that's really true, I'm going to pray and see if that's what God really wants. Because if he does, I shouldn't be here. He said, and I'm not trying to be patronizing to her. He said, that's a way of really dealing with it without reaching their level and becoming confrontational. And so I think you have to realize that the way we deal with difficulties is important. And so if there's somebody that's confronting you as the pastor, it's just sort of your Newman to Jerry Seinfeld, right? And you just don't like to even look at them and they're always against everything. First thing you do is you go to some other people in the church and you say, am I reading this right? Am I overreacting to this guy? Is he right at all? Because a lot of times there may be a shred of truth in what he's pointing
out. That's right.
So get some other input from that, for sure. Spend some time with those people in prayer about that. And don't approach it just on your own. That's why plurality of leaders is so important.
Yeah,
but Mark, you take the ball from here.
Yeah, no, that's great. I mean, and I would say again, you know, we talk a lot on this podcast about leaning into the awkward. And I think part of what you do with difficult personalities is you got to pursue them even more. And I know you don't want that.
Isn't
but you know what?
True?
They're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
And so what I'm going to do is, man, whether they like me or not, I'm going to make them my friend.
That's so good.
And I'm going to love them. I'm going to show up. I'm going to encourage them.
That is so good.
And I could tell you so many folks over the years that because of that pursuit, because the love of Jesus in me is not changing, man. And it may drive them nuts, But I want them to know the joy of the Lord.
Don't you think sometimes they're being difficult because they want your attention?
Yeah,
and they perhaps have some personality defects. They don't know how to get attention in an appropriate way. So their whole life, they've learned how to be sort of the center of attention by being the center of drama.
Yeah.
And so if they come into your church and they create drama and they get attention from that, then that. But if you give them attention, not for drama, but just because you love them.
Yeah.
Just because they're worthy.
Well, it's paralyzing. They almost don't know what to do with it.
Yeah,
they're looking for a fight.
You know, someone said one time, I've never forgotten it, when you want to disciple, you know, looking around, hey, I'm going to disciple a couple of guys. We always look for the two best, right?
Mm.
Who are the two most got the most leadership ability? Everybody. He said, why don't you pick the two biggest knuckleheads in your church and say, this year, I'm going to disciple those two guys.
Yeah.
Two guys who never want to be anything.
Sounds like Jesus.
Yeah, doesn't it? And I never thought about that. I thought, wow, what would that be like if we pick two of the most difficult people and say, this year I'm going to invest in those two guys.
Yeah, that's good.
We have been talking about characteristics of a revitalizing pastor, and there's been a lot of stuff that we've gone through over the past several episodes. I hope you'll go back and review some of that and be listening for other episodes where we'll be talking about more stuff like this very thing. If you would like to know more about some of this, feel free to check us out. And send comments, questions, all criticisms can be sent to Kyle. And let us know what we can do to improve on the podcast.
Talk about people with bad personalities.
That's a cheap shot there.
That's a cheap shot. Kyle is our producer,
we
love him.
He's the best.
He's the best. So
he really is.
Kyle in the studio, Dan here doing all the question and answers and keeping the thing rolling. I'm here with Mark Halleck, and you subscribe. Thanks. Goodbye, Dan.
Bye. Thanks for joining us today on Revitalize and Replant. This podcast is brought to you by the North American Mission Board, where we help dying or struggling churches regain health for the glory of God and the good of their communities. If you found this conversation helpful, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. To learn more about becoming a replanting pastor or to explore resources about revitalization for your own church, visit churchreplanters.com.